Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that ever refused to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 28th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, some of the great solutions we have to restore the republic. You see, we reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all absolutely doing fantastic. By the way, GiveMeLibertyFund.com is one of the great ways you can help patriots win, win, win. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Check it out today. Get involved in the solutions, would you please? Now, the Widow's Mite Radio Network, LibertyNewsRadio.com, syndicates LibertyRoundtable.com. And so if you can support that organization financially, we'd be certainly grateful. The new media is taking center stage. We are the only talk show that is positive as could be on the greatest country on the face of the earth. All the other folks, when you get done listening to their shows, you're kind of depressed and frustrated and angry and discouraged and not sure what you can even do to improve things, right? Who wants that, folks? Come on. This is a great country. There are good things happening everywhere. No doubt, sometimes we've got to bring up the negative to assess where we are. There's no doubt we live in perilous times. But I'm telling you right now, we're not going to go negative. We're not going to preach doom and gloom. We're going to talk about the good things. We're going to point out the hypocrisy. We're going to reject the double standard. We're going to bring to you news the networks refuse to use. And we're going to do it in the most cheerful way that we possibly can. Now, a quick recap of yesterday's show. We had our buddy on Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, does a tremendous job, joins us every Monday on the show. And we talked about Joel Skousen's Thanksgiving column at worldaffairsbrief.com. Joel Skousen, a frequent guest, joins us about monthly, give or take, worldaffairsbrief.com. But Joel Skousen articulated a bunch of things he was thankful for. He is thankful for the wisdom of the founders and the framers. Amen to Joel for that reality check. He said they had an innate suspicion of centralized government. The concept was revolutionary back in the 1700s. That our rights came from God, not government. And that government was a necessary evil and needed to be chained down with the Constitution. Boy, is that valuable information. Many people think we're free, by the way. We are to some degree, but we've lost a lot of freedoms, folks. So Lowell and others, like myself, are praying that we'd be successful in preserving the freedoms we have left and that we actually might move the needle and restore some of the freedoms that have been lost. What a great effort for prayer, folks. What a solution. What an opportunity. What a way to get involved that doesn't cost a penny but appeals to the author of liberty. Our God. Joel Skousen is thankful for our anti-establishment religious heritage. No doubt about that. Rejecting government religion. People can worship how, where, or what they may. A novel concept, said the pilgrims. And a novel concept today, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Joel Skousen was thankful for the World Wide Web. The web is to the current day as the printing press was to Gutenberg and his contemporaries back in the 1400s. No doubt about that. We're thankful for private and home schools, continues Joel Skousen. Amen to that. Alternative educational opportunities that don't propagandize the government's agenda. Wow, amen to that. Good, honest mothers and fathers teaching God, family, and country to their children, teaching respect for life, liberty, and property. Wow. Good stuff, huh? Joel is also thankful for the workings of conscience. It is the calm assurance that always accompanies truth, says Joel. Boy, is that spot on. We finished the hour by talking about the practical meaning of Thanksgiving. It is the triumph of capitalism over the failure of collectivism in all of its forms. Boy, is that good news. Anyway, we talked about war, I guess, in that hour as well. We want to promote peace. Ron Paul asks, why are we helping Saudi Arabia destroy Yemen? Saudi Arabia's war on Yemen is killing 130 children a day, folks. We also talked about women are having fewer babies than ever. We need to be willing to partner with God in the procreative process, folks. The sexual relationship is to bring children to the earth and to strengthen bonds between a man and a woman. God's ordained traditional marriage. Seems like we're turning our backs on all that, and we shall reap the whirlwind if we continue. But there is a solution. We can repent. We can change. CEO of J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, believes that Donald Trump will be a one-term president and it'll lose in 2020. Do you believe that? I have no idea. Hour two. A new paper comes out and claims that the Sugar Research Foundation, decades ago, suppressed research on sugar's negative effects. The assertion comes from the University of California at San Francisco. Kind of an interesting thing. Now, Donald Trump is in a trap. Congress literally put Donald Trump in a corner. He doesn't see it yet, but he'll get stung by it big time. Write it down. Remember who told you first in the news the networks refused to use category. Donald Trump is going to sign the defense bill. But in that defense bill, that omnibus huge spending bill, it calls climate change a national security threat. Do you believe that, folks? I believe disobedience to God is a national security threat. And climate change follows that. Remember, who controls the weather? The military? Man? Or the Almighty? All right. It looks like Doug Jones, the opponent to Roy Moore, the Democrat, looks like he defended men with ties to the KKK, and he defended Holocaust deniers. That's an interesting double standard scenario. Why do they attack all kinds of people for defending what they might term ne'er-do-well people, but yet Doug Jones can do it, and nobody calls it, nobody blinks an eye, huh? The double standard on display. I guess a woman hopes that more, meaning more people, will shop black this Friday, writes USA Today. So USA Today doubling down on racism. Her name is Candy Lowe, and she says, I will be encouraging everyone to shop black, meaning do business with black people. And that's fine, but I don't know why you'd turn shopping into a racial divide. But the USA Today, all too happy to promote the black racism. I say that you do business with people local, and you do business with kind people, good people, moral people, and you don't do business with hostile people, angry people, divisionary people, godless people. I got to vote with your dollars. I don't support Target because they promote the transgenderism that I reject, so I don't go to Target. But it's interesting, though. So they call me a racist because I stand for God, family, and country. And I believe white people should be able to celebrate their heritage as well. I think everybody should be able to celebrate their own heritage. I'm going to be foolish not to. However, Candy Lowe literally says I'm going to encourage people to shop black. And USA Today all too willing to peddle her racism. Wow. I guess the guy's name is Brett M. Kavanaugh. He's a judge of the United States Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia, right? Now, he's also Donald Trump's pick for a possible Supreme Court scenario. But the problem with this guy is Kavanaugh had a lead role in investigating into the death of Vince Foster back in July 1993. I think we ought to have a big old research into that, but I wouldn't trust Kavanaugh as far as I could throw him. Judge declares mistrial in Menendez case. Here's the question. Will they try him again? No, I think Menendez is guilty, personally. However, he's innocent, folks, until proven guilty. And if he got a mistrial, he has not been proven guilty. My problem is, can they continue to retry this guy? I bring this up because, you know what, we're defending a lot of people from these retrials, these trials over and over and over and over. And I don't want to just defend the guys that we trust or believe in. This applies to everybody. What on earth is the, are these mistrials and retrials doing, happening again and again and again? The founding fathers warned us against this, folks. Anyway, very interesting. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. You can donate and support what we're doing at LibertyRoundtable.com or LibertyNewsRadio.com. Archives are on demand for your listening enjoyment anytime that works for you. Please tell all your friends about what we're doing as the new media takes center stage. LibertyRoundtable.com, LibertyNewsRadio.com, and the Widow's Mite Radio Network could use your financial support. All right. We got to talk about Roy Moore coming up again. We'll do it in seconds. There's new twists in this case on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, I don't know if I want to talk about Donald Trump. I don't know if I want to talk about Roy Moore. I don't know if I want to talk about election fraud. I don't know if I want to talk about my take, Kurt's take, your take, but we're talking about it all, okay? And the reason I say I don't know if I want to talk about this and that and that and the other is because it all seems so convoluted and confused that it's really hard to know what's going on where. So the mainstream press running around saying Donald Trump rejecting Doug Jones and standing with Roy Moore. But I don't find that to be true at all. I agree that Donald Trump is rejecting Jones. But he's not backing Roy Moore at all. He has not endorsed him. He's really attacked Jones and it's made people believe that he's kind of for Roy Moore. But I don't believe it's true. I believe there's a very cunning, deceptive, manipulative, dishonest plan afoot. And you know that the inside Mitch McConnell Republicans and such have done their best to reject and to shut down Roy Moore. They've, by hook or by crook, done everything they can. That's why I say this borders on vote fraud, folks. This is really a sinister, evil plan. But now the headline that I wrote, Trump fails to campaign for Roy Moore, Kurt. Did you see this? So he's not really endorsing him at all. He hasn't publicly endorsed him like I have. He's kind of downed Doug Jones, but who wouldn't as a Republican down a Democrat? At the same time, he has not backed Roy Moore, and he says he doesn't have time to campaign for Roy. Your thoughts, Kurt?
When I look at this whole, Roy Moore thing and all the things that are going on right now with the Al Franken, the other guy in Congress, what's his name, Conyers, that's basically, these are guys, they're not exactly in the same spot, but they're kind of in a related area, if you will. It seems like Trump, the president, would be smart, you know, knowing his past history and his, it's not a holier than thou kind of spot, to act presidential. Now, I know it's, some say, well, it's pretty difficult for him to act presidential, but, you know, he does have things that keep him busy. And I believe he has said, you know, like with what I heard him say just lately, where he said, hey, you know, this Doug Jones guy is like, you know, the worst kind of liberal we've even got, which that's pretty much enough, I think, for the people of Alabama to understand his feelings. But, you know, I mean, if you're talking about... should he go into Alabama and go from town to town, you know, that kind of thing. There are negative things that are kind of associated with the president, and he may know that, and know that if he goes too much to work, you know, the other guys would say, well, yeah, here's one, you know, woman, you know.
Yeah, your point's a good one. Donald Trump has enough stink on him to where, you know what, he might actually not help Roy Moore. He might get there town to town, get on the ground, and make things worse and more deceptive and controversial. And that is what Donald does. There's no doubt about it. And I would agree with this general idea to say, hey, he's innocent until proven guilty. As the president, we reject Doug. He's a liberal. He's crazy. He's whacked out. I do support the God, family, and country viewpoint of Roy Moore. Roy's denied it. People are innocent until proven guilty. Let's move along. And he could give a quick endorsement, support. He's stopped short of that. Now, I get that he may not go on the ground and campaign for Roy, except for when you stop short of an endorsement, when you attack Doug Jones, but you don't completely back Roy Moore, I get it until this comes into the mix. You ready? Now, there's a guy by the name of Lee Busby. And Lee Busby is a well-known Marine. He spent 31 years in the Marine Corps. And he has announced his write-in candidacy as an independent in the Alabama race with Roy Moore, Kurt. So now you got a write-in candidate named Lee Busby who, listen, he was the chief of staff on his last tour of duty for guess who? General John Kelly, who is now the White House Chief of Staff. So what you got now is you got Mitch McConnell hoping to create a three-way race to stop Roy Moore. Talking about writing candidacies, etc., and it shows the betrayal, in my opinion, of a Mitch McConnell. Well, now you've got a guy by the name of Lee Busby, a well-known military Marine with ties to General Kelly, so ties to the White House Chief of Staff. All right, and this guy is going to run as an independent write-in candidate in the Roy Moore race. He says, I don't know if Roy's guilty or not, but I know we need somebody else, not Doug. Well, that's exactly what Donald's saying. We need somebody else, not Doug. And now John Kelly, the chief of staff, well, I mean, you could say that John has nothing to do with it, that Donald has nothing to do with it, that Mitt has nothing to do with it, but they've all got what they've wanted now, which is a way to create enough margin to possibly have Roy Moore lose. Will it work? We'll find out on December 12th. But in my opinion, you got the most dirty politics going on here. And while the mainstream press is telling you, trashing Donald Trump, saying he's backing Roy Moore, it isn't true. Through his White House chief of staff, Donald Trump is saying anybody but Doug. And by the way, Lee Busby is a write-in candidate now, and he's independent. Very strange brew, Kurt. You want to respond to this one?
This is not surprising to me that there would be another entry in here. They were trying to find one with the whole Sessions deal, you know, to put him in there. McConnell even said, well, he's well known. You know, we could do that, that kind of thing. As if he just kind of you know, manipulates and runs things down in Alabama. And,
well, he kind of does.
In some ways
he
does. With the power he has in the Senate and control of that kind of money and stuff. I hope that the good folks of Alabama will see through this. Apparently this guy said when asked about this whole thing, I guess he read that it was too late for a write-in candidate, and his response was, quote, hold my beer, we will just see about that, end quote. This Lee Busby guy, I guess he's not, you know, overwhelmingly going for the Christian crowd, at least with that kind of comment. They say he's lodging the Daily Beast, was what reported this, and Busby told them he was lodging his long shot bid to stop Republican nominee Roy Moore from reaching the Senate. I think that maybe is the key thing here to look at. It's not really going to win it himself, but to stop him from reaching the Senate.
Yeah, because this guy for sure cannot win. As a write-in candidate, he's not, I mean, he might be more well-known than some, but he's not well-known like a Roy Moore or any of those kind of things. It's to split the vote here. And when he's got ties through Kelly to the White House, when Donald backs, well, when Donald rejects Doug, says we need somebody else but won't campaign for Roy Moore, you get it until you realize that this candidate has been inserted at the last minute as a write-in independent. Now, a lot of independent people, Kurt, are going to say, you know what? I don't even know much about this guy, but I'm going to support an independent candidate. I'm an independent. I'm going to support an independent candidate. He's going to get plenty of votes just by that idea. Whether it'll be enough or not, whether it'll be, you know, manipulating the elections, you know, I don't know. I don't know if this will be the deal breaker for Roy Moore or not. But I knew that by hook or by crook, do everything they could to stop Roy. And boy, we haven't even seen the end of it yet. I pray Roy's still successful, but I'm starting to think, you know what? The Republicans are just hostile. And really what it gives me is the lack of hope for any high-profile election. You know, I don't know where Rand Paul is, but he's not defending Roy Moore very boldly that I see. He's not in the news much. Busby's in the news more than Rand Paul is about it. It's a sad scenario here. And I don't know what's going to happen, but you got this guy. Do you think he'll stop Roy, or do you think Roy will still win, Kurt?
Oh, you know, if this guy gets 5%, I'll be surprised. Now, I know some would say, well, that's enough. I think what the numbers are going to be real close to 70. Maybe this will bring things to 60 for Judge Roy Moore. But that's my overall prediction. Sam, for Alabama.
You know, Rand Paul has endorsed Roy Moore for the Senate, which is great news. I think that we need to really have Rand Paul go down and campaign for Roy Moore, personally. Anyway, quick pause. Sam and Kurt, makes you wonder what's going to happen in this race. I pray Kurt's right.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
From
in a beer commercial, everyone's happy and they're jumping around in there or whatever.
The thing is they not only have appealing activities, they have appealing people on there too. You know, you see beer commercials and it's done with natural water and it's cold brewed or heat pasteurized and all that kind of stuff. They make it sound more like a health food almost, but they never show the hangovers or alcoholism or anything like that.
And then in reality, you're happy and then you're vomiting in the bathroom and then you're waking up sick the next morning with a really bad headache.
Any person that says that beer is merely for recreational use is stupid because it's a form of alcohol.
They just want your money. It's the people that sell the product that are getting the most out of it, not the people that use it.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're all sell our beer and it doesn't matter what it takes, just sell it.
No, they're not honest messages. They don't show the flip side of it, the results of alcohol.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right, there's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, in my humble opinion, Donald Trump shows true colors, fails to campaign for Roy Moore, or even endorse Roy Moore for that matter. I get maybe he won't go on the ground. He's president. He's busy. He doesn't want to muddy the waters. He's got a little bit of stink on himself. And he, you know, I get it. But he fails to campaign or endorse Roy Moore. Lee Busby announces his write-in candidacy as an independent in the Roy Moore, Alabama race. Busby has ties to Kelly, who is the Joint Chiefs of Staff, or White House Chief of Staff, I should say. So we'll keep an eye on that ball, but I find that this interesting. Now, I don't know if this write-in candidacy will make the difference, but I know three-way races, it doesn't take much. If Doug advances 2 or 3 points, and then this guy gets 3 or 4 points, you know, that's a lot of swing. However, Kurt Crosby is predicting a double-digit lead for Roy Moore, even with the third-party write-in candidacy independent bid from this Lee Busby guy. And I just pray Kurt's right. I just pray Kurt's predictions are spot on. Because, boy, do we need a Roy Moore in the Senate. Now, Rand Paul has endorsed Roy Moore. Most people have backed away and melted down. They're afraid of controversy, afraid to stand up for what's right, in my personal opinion. I still maintain my endorsement of Roy Moore. It's a written public endorsement at libertyroundtable.com if you want to read it. All I can tell you is that you know that a guy's a good guy when he's getting this kind of opposition from the inside swamp Republicans. And sadly, Donald really participates with the swamp monsters by his silence. Showing his true colors, fails to campaign for and or endorse Roy Moore. I'm disappointed in the Donald, Kurt. And I pray that Lee Busby doesn't have a negative effect, but I have my concerns. I pray you're correct. Any other comments on this?
I don't see what else to add in this situation now.
Mm. All right. I guess CNN's now melting down, Kurt. CNN wrote a op-ed piece, and now they want to ban the term fake news. Do you want to respond to this before we talk about this, Kurt?
Well, so what are they going to... These are the same people that would... in the past, be ticked off if you went to, say, your school library and wanted to get rid of Catcher in the Rye or something like that, you know, can't burn the books or, you know, ban things that, you know, one side, maybe the conservative side, would view as negative and, you know, immoral or whatever. They would protect them that way. But now if they see some words they don't like, they want to ban them.
Now, right? Pretty much, yeah. What happened, really, is they loved the term fake news when they thought that they could make it stick on the new media taking center stage, that we were all fake news peddlers. They're the legitimate, qualified journalists. They're the mainstay that have been around for literally decades. They're the gatekeeping, you know, mainstream news. And, hey, fake news is a great way to marginalize us, the new media. The problem is we've got more power than they thought we did. And now fake news, Donald Trump, to his credit, is helpful in this. But we've literally told the truth in the news so many times, so often, so consistently, to where now, you know what, we're considered the real news. We're considered the new media taking center stage. We're considered the folks that want to reject the gatekeeping and have honest reporting. The issue is honesty, remember. And now CNN's on the ropes because everyone believes CNN's fake news. Now they're going, hey, whoa, wait a minute. It's not marginalizing our enemies or our opposition. It's not rejecting anybody from challenging our gatekeeping positions. In fact, it's backfiring. And now they want to ban fake news because it's being applied to them so much that they're losing credibility every day, Kurt. So now there's an op-ed where CNN wants to ban the term fake news. Now, how do you ban a term, Kurt, like this? In other words, it's their last desperate attempt at failure. CNN's on the ropes. They're being attacked by the Donald. They're being attacked by everybody. They're as liberal as it gets. They're defending sexual predators on their own ranks, meaning the liberal side, while attacking Roy Moore. They're just engaged in fake news, and they've been caught over and over and over by folks like us. The new media is taking center stage. Their gatekeeping days are over, and this is their last desperate attempt to ban two words, fake news, because fake news and CNN have become synonymous, Kurt. Wow.
Yep, good point.
Not to mention they bring sandwich with his water.
Eliminate him. Yeah, good point.
You know, I'm just saying. It's kind of interesting. Got a photo of that stuff, don't we, Kurt?
Yeah.
CNN, nice guys, though. They were very nice. I don't mean to attack them. I'm just saying that's the problem. What do you mean they want to ban the term fake news? How do you do that?
Yeah.
I don't even understand how you can do that or how that would even go. But they're desperate. They're freaking out. They don't know what to do. Because people are just simply jettisoning CNN left and right. Now, sadly, they're going to Fox and they're going to fake conservative news outlets.
Well, that's what, you know, at least in my opinion, that's what is the standard kind of reporting. They wouldn't want to say that they're pulling the cable plug and, you know, going elsewhere, because then that would, that just messes things up.
Yeah, they'll get attacked, you know, won't they?
Yeah. Good point.
It's kind of like the big contingent that doesn't want to say they're going to vote for Roy Moore, but when they get in the voting booth, they're going to pull the lever for Roy, aren't they? That's our prayer.
That's
anyway.
The way I see it.
All right.
Just like when they said, oh, they got the numbers on the Trump, you know, versus Hillary thing, they missed them big time, you know?
All right. Anyway, I found that interesting about CNN. Next interesting story. It's about CNN again. Kurt, CNN gives Van Jones his own show. Did you see this?
No.
Katie Jerkovich writes the piece. So, do you remember who Van Jones is, Kurt?
Jerkovich.
Yeah, what did I say?
I just think it's an interesting name. I mean, imagine
Jerkovich.
Your name being a Jerkovich, you know. But
well,
anyway.
Hey, I wouldn't endorse Katie, but hey, there you go.
It's just the way it is. I mean, he's pretty much a communist, isn't he, as far as I remember?
Well, he's a reformed communist, Kurt. He can change. There are a lot. You know what? You got sexual predators like Bill Clinton. Never mind that now women are literally coming out in droves going, hey, we're afraid to even bend over to pick something up in front of Bill. I won't even go into that. I'm just saying. That's their latest claim. But Bill can change. He's a good guy. A good dude. One of the best presidents ever known. And Van Jones is a great reformed communist. Now, if you're a white supremacist guy, or you're a constitutional guy, or you're a believing in God guy, or a pro-life person, or Christian, you can never recover, Kurt.
Right. It makes perfect sense.
But if you're a Van Jones, so people are wondering, you know, here's the interesting thing. CNN doesn't even get it. They're on the ropes because they're peddling fake news. Right when we all start to jettison them and they panic and say they want to ban fake news, then they hire a guy like Van Jones. Let's give this guy a show. And Americans are going, are you kidding me? This guy's a flat-out communist.
Yep.
Wow. Now, I guess he's not a communist now, though, Kurt, because he's reformed, he's changed. I mean, don't you believe in change, Kurt? See, they appeal to this Christian value that we have, that people can repent and change, and I agree. People can. I don't think Van Jones has, or he wouldn't be aligned with CNN. Nevertheless, they can do what they want to, and we can do what we want. I'm just telling you, they're losing their grip. They're losing their gatekeeping control, that's for sure. And Van Jones, the more they hire whacked out people like that, the more the American people will see the truth for what it is. And I say, bring it on, Kurt. Anyway.
There you go. Yeah.
All right, Kurt, you gave us a story. I think it's like in Malibu, an uneasy act of charity. Los Angeles Times, right?
Yeah. You know, at least around this time, ladies and gentlemen, with the whole, Thanksgiving time, Christmas holidays, I will admit that, in my opinion, some of the mainstream media, they'll do some good. And this is a L.A. Times piece, and talks about Malibu, California. It's not really known as a homeless center, and yet at this time of year, because of its weather and that kind of thing, I think the homeless folks are grateful for Malibu, I guess you'd say. They talk about a guy named Chris Smith. They say he watches ducks land on the lagoon at sunset from his beach encampment, known to locals as Margaritaville. Now, I mean, isn't there a song called Margaritaville? The bottom line is, I think I'm trying to remember the name or the whole, song, but
it's a song, Kurt.
Margaritaville, it's part of that. But the bottom line is, like most folks that are a little bit, more well off, they're a little uncomfortable around, people that, maybe live
out of Jimmy Buffett. Come on, Margaritaville, Kurt. You don't know this? My last shaker of salt. We'll play that when we come back.
Yeah.
We'll highlight the story because it is interesting. Malibu is quite a bit north of L.A. and not known as a homeless camp usually. But things are a-changing. Strange things are a-happening. And Kurt and Sam have the details.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Nibbling on sponge cake. See, Kurt, I knew you'd know this song.
Yep, I'm familiar with this.
All right, that's what they're talking about, my friend.
Malibu. Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about this L.A. Times piece that, you know, I would say hats off to the L.A. Times and to other organizations that at least at this time of year, it's sort of politically correct to find these kind of stories that make you go, well, if they're doing it, we could do that. And, you know, kind of get people off their old idea of, hey, me, and everything's about me, and everything's for me, and that kind of thing. But anyway, this story's also got a twist where we see government kind of messing things up when people try to do some good to help, you know, out somebody who may be down on their luck. It's true that some homeless people may be choosing to do that just because they want to, you know, maybe they want to live in a,
because they can,
know,
yeah,
on the beach or whatever, you know, I mean, they don't have to worry about paying their cell phone bill. They don't have to worry about paying their power bill. They don't have to get junk mail in the mail and throw it away. I mean, there's a lot of, I guess you could say, so-called benefits to this kind of thing. But anyway, the headline here, or at least a connected headline, Malibu church pressured to end homeless dinners, with some saying it lures needy to upscale city. So these are kind of connected stories because they basically talk about this Margaritaville, or in other words, this kind of a nice area. They say the residents there have long been generous to those who live in the city's 21 miles of canyons, beaches, and glittering shopping centers. So you got, you know, pretty nice areas, pretty nice, you know, Malibu, you know, is known as a pretty nice area. And I guess they say for 17 years, religious groups fed homeless people, and the city and private donors put up hundreds of thousands of dollars for social workers to find them housing and services. Now, there's only one problem with this, you know, last sentence here, and that is, it's not the private donors that are the problem. It's the city that, you know, tries to overwhelm and take over these things. And many times, what they try to do is they say, these people are our clients. They're our business, what we are all about, and they want to grow their services. But, well, in steps a church, Sam. And so it's called the Malibu United Methodist Church. That's what's in this story, and I'll bet there are other churches, but this is the one being talked about in here. It says, Malibu United Methodist Church facing pressure from the city, which is really the problem here, in recent weeks took a U-turn. They decided twice weekly dinners for homeless people would stop after Thanksgiving. Well, it's a great way to celebrate Christmas, I guess. But they say the cutoff came after city officials summoned organizers. You know, they said, hey, we want to talk to you guys there that have been feeding these homeless people, and suggested they were attracting more homeless people and making the problem worse. Now, there are people in our area that do the same thing, Sam. They suggest that if you hand somebody a banana or give them $2 if you feel like they're down on their luck and they got a little sign, you know, they say that, hey, you're the cause of that. In other words, you're going to cause this homeless blight to show up. I disagree, but, you know, there may be that situation.
Well, it all depends on how it's handled, Kurt. And this is kind of, I think, the critical point. When you have government, you know, creating this moral hazard with really no appropriate oversight, then no doubt it'll attract homeless big time, homeless and illegal aliens. However, if you have a private organization, private donors and churches and those who are close to the people and who carefully monitor true need versus those taking advantage of something, you can really ferret that out quite well. If you have people on the ground who care, people who really want to provide relief, but people who believe in accountability, not a handout, but a hand up, and you do it in the private sector, I don't believe that it'll bring the ne'er-do-wells and promote homelessness. I believe it'll provide exactly what it's intended for, a hand up, not a handout. It'll provide a transition for folks if there's accountability and expectations and in a relationship with Christian churches and private organizations and people with their, you know, who live there and believe in and work towards solutions. I don't believe it'll attract homeless. But if you insert government into it and create a system where there's no accountability, then I think absolutely that'll happen. And I think that's the reason that private sector solutions are so valuable and government solutions are so problematic. And that's part of the reason that I think churches who create Christian accountability, you know, sir, we've helped you for 5 weeks now. We really need you to start working. We've got a, you know, whatever over here, or you can do some city cleanup, you know, volunteer cleanup, or you can come help with this, you know, organization we have here or whatever. And they start to create workfare, not welfare, and they start to create accountability. Then either the homeless guy is going to leave and go somewhere else, or he's going to start becoming accountable. And I really believe that's what the private sector brings to the table. It's not only the help, the support, the love, the encouragement, and the bridge that people need, Kurt, but it's the accountability on the other end of the spectrum that you just don't see unless it's private, unless it's directly on the ground, the closest to the people, the better. I believe that's really the key takeaway from this whole story. Anything to add to that?
Yep. And, you know, frankly, if you're somebody who's a little down on their luck, homeless person or whatever, you're going to look for, you know, nicer weather at this time of year. And, you know, the Malibu is definitely nicer weather than a lot of places. They say it's 56 degrees right now. We're about 20 degrees less than that where we are. By the way, they say they've got roughly 180 homeless residents. I don't know how you're called a homeless resident, but anyway. But they have no shelter or housing for poor people. Now,
and what
I
you
would
do is you just put on your address when you're applying for a job, Kurt, you just put, you know what, Margaritaville on your address.
Yeah, that's right.
What you do.
Yeah. And what I want to ask these guys is, are there no churches there that would offer people a place to sleep? You know,
not when the government will shut them down. There isn't, Kurt.
That is the key point there, at least to me. They say last year members of this, what they call, as their homelessness began to grow down there in Malibu, they started a group called the Community Assistance and Resource Team. And they began handing out clothes and toiletries and arranging homeless service days. And it says with Los Angeles County, which, you know, at least to me, that's, you know, part of the problem here. But last year, some of the members broke off of this group and they raised $460,000 to hire full-time social workers from the People Concern. That's a Southern California nonprofit social services agency. In just over a year, the social workers got 24 of Malibu's homeless people off the streets, including 11 placed in permanent housing. Let's see, 460,000, 24, you know, it's, I, at least in my opinion, the churches can do this thing better. But, you know, so many times people want to take the church out of things these days. You know, when we see the way our church does things, Sam, like you say, they're not going to, you know, fall for some deal where the guy is making $60,000, you know, a year because, you know, he's going back to his fancy place and he's got his, you know, sign out on the street. It's just not going to be done. But the bottom line is, with this story, ladies and gentlemen, people do want to do some good things, and there are good people that are willing to ante up even when the government takes such huge amounts of their money and forces all of us to participate in acts of charity. There are still people trying to help, and especially hats off to them at this time of year.
Amen. And when, my point, though, is that there are solutions, and the reason we spend so much time on this is to highlight that, you know what, the desire to care for others, to reach out a Christian hand of love, is a great desire.
It is a good thing.
Okay. We just want to make sure that it's channeled in the direction that will have actually solutions at the end of the rainbow.
Yeah.
We want to really focus on what works and what does not work. And I'm telling you right now, giving people money in the street does not work. Okay, now I know somebody would say, Sam, don't you understand the Christian doctrine biblically that says, hey, it's not for you to judge, it's just for you to give. I don't agree with that. Now, I mean, I agree with the scriptures, but I don't think that's what it means. I think there needs to be accountability with sacred funds. And I do believe money that's used to care for others is sacred. And I don't believe in just giving it out in the street to people who are taking advantage of people or that are whatever. In my opinion, you got to have an organization on the ground. And the more you hand out money in the street, the more likely you're going to have panhandlers in the street. The more you create organizations that can help on the ground with eyes and ears that know what's really happening to help those who genuinely need it and sift through to those who are not truly in need, but taking advantage of a system or refusing to work or intentionally living this way to gain at the system's expense, then those need to be ferreted out. And I don't know any better than a local Christian organization on the ground that'll truly care about this effort and who will treat that money as sacred funds. All right. So in wealthy Malibu, an uneasy act of charity. I think we ought to be a little bit more easy about our acts of charity. We just need to do it in a way that doesn't create that unease. And so we point out the way that it ought to be done. And there are programs across the country that are successful at doing this. There's many of them. And you know what? We've got our favorites. You can find your favorites. Be careful of scandals. But there are ways to truly reach out the hand of Christian fellowship and love. And there are truly ways to give people a hand up and reject the handout scenario that creates more and more homelessness. There are answers. Happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas. We put our faith in Christian organizations. How about you? All right, hour one in the can, hour two coming up. What kind of an actress do you think I am? Kurt will talk about it. There's an interesting column about it. It says no author, but then there's an author. We'll talk about it all. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.